You're not alone, you're not crazy, and you're right to not be satisfied. Because you are infinite brilliance, and it's time to start shining. Welcome to the Lights Like Us podcast. Lights like us together. Okay, Heidi, what's good? Tell us about what's good, actually.
So many things, but what comes to mind is this, well, my obsession, low-key obsession.
Okay, wait, but why? Well, you learned what's good, though. Where'd you learn this thing?
Oh, yes. So this term, what's good, comes from a Instagram post I saw about the Dutch that when they're tucking their kids in bed at night, they don't talk about what's tomorrow, the anxiety of the next day. They just say what was good today. And it's such a kind of an obscure word to me. It feels like what was good is just kind of weird to be like, well, I don't know. But it gives closure for the day. And that's what they do with their children at night. And it's so cute. And so I thought, we kind of try to go to bed and I say, Ryan, what was good today? And so we thought it would be really fun to just start each podcast with what's good. And that way we just have a little story of something good, and especially in a very scary, dark time in our country.
Yep. Easy to find what's bad.
It's so easy to find what's bad. It's everywhere you look. So just what's good. And so my answer right this second is I listened to a podcast on numerology, and I have a low-key obsession with Taylor Swift, which is, she's just so creative and insanely smart and inspiring to me. And so I thought, I saw this podcast on Goop come up on your numerology for the in the year ahead. And I was like, oh, I don't even know about numerology, but I'm going to listen to it. But what's good is I love just bookends and I love fresh starts. And I thought, okay, we're starting a 9-year, in numerology, it's a 9-year chunks. 2025 was the end of a 9-year chunk. And everyone, and it's a collective, this is a collective thing, which is really cool. It's not just specific to your sign or your zodiac sign.
Well, everyone's going through
everyone's this. Collectively, this is good news for everyone that we're starting year one of a 9-year stretch. And what she said is that and I'm not going to get into this, there's just a couple things. The end, we all were melting into our cocoons in the last year. It was a really hard year for a lot of reasons, for a lot of everyone. And then now we're coming out of the cocoon and our wings are starting to fly, but we have to be really gentle with ourselves in year one of the 9-year stretch. And I just thought, okay, I love this. And also, it's ironic to me that both of our children, well, Isaac and Anna, came over here the day we got home from Japan, and they both had this new awakening. We didn't know about the numerology thing, but they had this new awakening of their year, what they're thinking for their life. Like, for the first time, it's like they just kind of came out of this slog of confusion, and they just are starting an idea that they each had that was kind of floored us because we didn't see this coming from them. Anyway, so I was like, oh my gosh, it's happening. This is, our wings are opening. We're getting out of this cocoon. All of us are. And it was just hopeful and exciting. And then the little nuggets she said is, everyone wants to know money and love. How's that going to shape up in this year one of a 9-year stretch? And she said, money only comes one time. And you guys, it's July. So July, there's going to be some sort of windfall, some sort of happy thing with money that's exciting to be like. She's like, only once this year, though. So we're very gentle with ourselves.
So buy your lottery tickets in July.
I don't know. And then the other thing for those looking for love, there's 3 months of this year one that you will find love. And she said it's January, it's May, and it's October. And she's like, but I caution you all looking for love. This is the year to take care of yourself. And then in year two, you will find that love. It's okay if you find love this year, but chances are better for you to wait and nurture yourself. So anyway, hilarious. But I just found that good. I just found that so good and joyful and very, very harmless to have this perspective.
Yes. No, I love it. Also, side note, if you, Taylor Swift, a little bit of controversy around her. Not controversy, but people either love her. Or some people just really hate that everyone loves her. Watch the documentary, whether you love or hate her or are even ambivalent toward her. The documentary on Disney, I think, the Eras Tour. It's an 8-4-part, I don't remember, multiple part set. And you cannot watch that.
They go behind the scenes of how this
and
tour.
Not be impressed by her creativity, her ambition, her work ethic, her generosity, and the tour's just monstrosity. And I mean, it's very impressive.
Very
you just
inspiring.
Can't not be impressed Mm-mm. and inspired by it. Mm-mm. You if you're not, you got to get over your bias. You hate her too much.
It's okay. Maybe you'll find inspiration somewhere else. But
you will. But it's really, really good. Really good. Yeah.
So what's good? What's good, Ryan?
My what's good is I'm reading the Rick Rubin book that you got me for Christmas on creativity, I think. And this morning he gave this little story about, I don't know if it was a monk or something, but an old monk we'll use because it works better in these stories. An old monk was, he would get this water out of the well and he would lower this clay pot down the well. He would lower it very carefully without it touching the sides. And it would take him so long, and he would eventually get water and then slowly lift it up so it didn't crack into the sides of the well. And this guy came up to him one day and was like, listen, man, I can tell you you're doing this the hard way. Let's put in a pulley system. You just press this button. This thing will drop down immediately. It'll grab the water and it'll just rip it up. It'll be so simple. And the monk said, oh, wow. I mean, I guess, but I just can't imagine that if I didn't put so much time and intention into getting my water, that it would taste as good as it does. And it was this whole chapter on intention and just how much intention matters in our art and our creativity and what we're doing. And I think we've been thinking a lot about this year already, just our intention. And is our intention to make money or is it to create good art? And I was even saying, like, the Sunday Scaries have so lessened for me because I think about going to work and not having to make money or produce in order to keep up in an economy. I think about getting to create art. And it's a subtle difference, but it's really changing everything and making me more excited about what we do and how we do it. And yes, money is it's there. We have to make it. Everyone knows this. But there's this intention that is bred into everything we do, and this intention of just creating art and being slow and I don't know why you're doing it is just really good to me. It's really calming and exciting to me, and I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Okay, so if you haven't caught on from our little intros on these podcasts, we're talking about this thread of kind of insight that's been throughout human history, throughout culture and religion and blah, blah, blah. It's always been there. And a lot of people call this thread a lot of different things, but we generally call it the mystics. And the mystics have been in every religion. You have the Rumi was a Sufi, which is a Muslim mystic. You have the Jewish mystics. You have Christian mystics. I mean, Eckhart and Julian of Norwich, and even Richard Rohr to some effect this day. You have mystics across every religion, and honestly, kind of outside of religion too. It's this thread that is usually pretty quiet, and they have always said the same thing. They do across everything, and it's just this beautiful, inspiring thing. And I've been into these mystics for a long time, including our time way back at Branches. And I think, honestly, in this day and age, that our culture needs these mystic voices more than ever. And mystic to some people is, they don't like that word. So I don't know if it's the spiritual, or the enlightened, or the people who've woken up. You can use whatever word works for you. The seekers, yeah. But there's these people that just get it. And it's not anything to do with religion. And it's really beautiful, and it's always been the piece of every religion that has inspired me.
And the piece of religion that everyone has been executed for and hung at the stake. If you are called a mystic in your religion, you're out of here.
Yes.
So no, it's not admired by religious people.
Well, like we say, the power structures are always threatened by this because they don't like that kind of power, because mystics have generally given the power back to the people and talked about a God that's in everything or a divine in everything. Like, you don't need this religious hierarchy and structure to access what this structure tells you you need to access, which is what provides this structure power and money. And that's why they hate it. So anyway, this thread that we want to have throughout all of our podcasts is also this mystic thread. And I think it was, I feel like it's important to kind of talk about what these people have, what is this thread? What are the ingredients, I guess? And everyone was going to have a different opinion. So this is not the end all be all by any stretch. But I have come up with, I think, five things that summarize the Mystics to me. And again, I'm no expert on the Mystics, but one thing I love about just being someone who's trying to amplify the Mystics is that I don't have to know everything. And it's not my thoughts, it's their thoughts. And I'm trying to absorb as much of them as possible. Rick Rubin, actually, I already quoted him this morning. I'd throw him in as a Mystic. I mean, this guy is tapping into something that is a deeper, more beautiful thread in the world. And this is the stuff. So here's the first one. The first one is pain is the teacher. And there's a lot of that's been said on pain, but one thing I love about the Mystics is they don't run from pain. And it's hard for me because I'm a 7 Enneagram and I do run from pain. I don't like pain. I don't like to think about the hard things in life. I always like to spin them to like, whoa, but this will turn out cool and this will turn out great and this will turn out great. And that's actually one of the things I like about the Mystics is that they acknowledge pain, but they acknowledge it as a really beautiful thing to open up the cracks that let the light come in. I mean, they acknowledge it as this teacher. They acknowledge it as this thing that does exist. And so we don't have to spend our whole life trying to just avoid pain and run from it and viewing it as a sign that if pain is there, then something must be going wrong. Like we must be doing something off. We must be displeasing some higher deity or something like that. It's just no, pain is a part of life and it's okay. And how do we best use this pain to learn from it and work with it? And even work itself, work is pain. It's pain in the ass to work and have to go to work. But even what comes from that is beautiful. Working out, I mean, you can go on. And so much of our society is, even on subtle levels, trying to avoid pain. Like I would even argue TikTok, Instagram videos, like in this way, we want to teach me it in 30 seconds. I don't want to have to read the book. I don't want to have to listen to our podcast. Just hurry up and teach it to me. I don't like the pain. And there's something really beautiful about pain is the teacher. Pain is how we learn. Pain is a part of life. Suffering is different. We choose to suffer, which is different than pain. But once we acknowledge it, we're okay with it. We learn what we can from it. It's a really beautiful way to live through life. So that's one of the common ones to me.
What's the difference between pain and suffering?
I think suffering is when we let pain run us. And suffering is when we choose to live. I mean, honestly, you could say it, well, in so many ways. But one way we suffer is trying to avoid pain. Or when we think pain is there because it shouldn't be, and then we suffer with this, like, oh gosh, what am I doing wrong? We spend all day trying to figure it all out. And suffering, again, it's a mental, not gymnastics, but subtleties. Mental subtleties, just like, pain is there, okay, now how can I be joyful and learn and go through life in it? Instead of, oh God, pain is here, my life sucks, I'm terrible. I'm never going to get out of this. Life's hard. Life's miserable. We're all doomed. You know, you get the difference in those. And so we choose to suffer. We don't choose pain. That makes sense. I mean, yeah. I think I'm trying to do a surface level here too, which is really.
We're not
really,
diving deep. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we're just doing a surface.
We could talk like
an outline.
Yeah. We could talk 30 minutes on each of these, but yeah. I think they're ingredients that will be in all the podcasts. And I think they're really important and more than ever today. Mm-hmm. The second one's holistic living, which holistic is just the whole, like everything. And one thing I love about the Mystics is just everything matters. I mean, it's Hero Dreams of Sushi. It's the documentary we watched on the Japanese guy who cleans toilets. It's doing the dishes. I forget which Jesuit said, like doing the dishes is an act of worship. I mean, it's everything in life. It's laughing, it's crying, it's smiling, it's making love, it's eating, it's making dinner. It's walking through a city, it's walking through a forest. Everything is sacred. And some people don't like the word sacred. I sometimes don't either. It's been ruined, but that it's magical. It's wonder. It's beautiful. It's the juice of life, and everything is. It's not going to a temple, cathedral, church. That can be if it's like everything else in life, and it can be used to pull out beautiful things, but there's nothing special about those places. There's nothing special about the rituals. There's nothing special about sitting down and reading a special book or saying special words to a special deity. Everything is the same, and everything is sacred. And this has been said so many times in so many different books, but that is a mystic thread. And again, the church does not like that. I remember years ago in Spain, we were there where that guy was burned. I can't think of his name at the time, but he was burned to the stake for saying God is everywhere. And the church, the Catholic Church, hated that because, no, God, you need to come here and give us money so we can build this cathedral and listen to this priest, because that's where you're going to get a deeper level of God. And so the structures hate that, because if you don't need the structure and you don't need the religion, well then, oh shit. And it's a beautiful piece of the mystics. It's a very threatening to the structures piece, but it's holistic living that everything matters and everything is beautiful and everything is the same in a way. And it's a higher level same.
It's like looking at the world with color.
Yes, exactly. But we're looking at everything you do as though it's, you know, kneeling at the altar. Whatever,
it's being
that
present.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's that highest level of quote unquote spirituality that is just in everything. It's just everything we do. And so it's, and again, that has massive effects. I mean, if making love is a spiritual act, well then how does that affect who you have sex with and how you have sex with people? And if cooking dinner is a spiritual act, and how does it affect how you eat and how you make dinner and how you perceive it and how you taste it? I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's really cool. Third one is one, which is kind of related to holistic, but a little bit different, because I think the mystics are so good at tying everything in together. Everything is God in a sense. The Shinto, they have 8 million gods and they call them kamis. And I was reading this book about Japan before we went to Japan. And everything is a god in a sense. And that has a massive effect on how we treat each other, how we treat the world, how we treat the forest, how we treat water. I mean, if everything is suddenly the divine, then suddenly, which the divine, these words, God, ugh. But if everything is mystery or us or the universe or like all these concepts that are so hard to put into anything.
And what's your quote about the, when are you talking about God or the mystery that?
Oh, the wait. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
You threw it on me.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, the metaphor of the mystery that transcends all categories of thought, including being and non-being. That's Joseph Campbell's definition of God, which is still one of my favorites. The metaphor of the mystery that transcends all categories of human thought. So if people say they don't believe in God or whatever, it's like, well, do you believe in a metaphor of a mystery that transcends all categories? So it's like that thing. That thing, though, is in everything. Everything is that thing. Water, a stream, a waterfall, rain, the ocean, the mountains, the streets, the sidewalks, the person who's living on the sidewalks, the temple. Sure. The ceremonies, the buildings, everything is one. And obviously it has a massive effect on how we treat our planet, climate, everything else. But I think it's another ingredient that has throughout the mystics is one. Next one is new, which is just, it kind of, to me, counteracts pain as the teacher, because also there's this degree of everything is also becoming new. And there's this optimism to the world that there's a cycle to life and everything. There's new seasons, there's new birth, there's new eras, there's new learning, there's new time, there's never ending all of these things. And so with the pain, with death, with decay, there's also this rebirth and there's life and there's new energy. And so I think there's this beautiful piece of the mystics that while they acknowledge that there's pain, they also acknowledge that things are also becoming beautiful and better, really, every day. And again, a lot of that comes to us living holistically, believing everything is one. But there's this very optimistic piece to everything is becoming new. You're becoming new. Your trauma is becoming new. Your pain's becoming new. Your regrets are becoming new. And that obviously affects forgiveness and grace and mercy and peace and joy and all of these things that we live life with. There's this another huge ingredient, which is new. And I keep thinking of, I think, Julian of Norwich, who said, all will be well, all will be well, all will be well.
All manner of things shall be well.
Yes, it kind of sums up this, like, it's all going to be okay. And it's not in a toxic, positive way. it's in a real beautiful way of it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's Good Will Hunting. You know, it's not your fault. 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 And it's just that beautiful piece of, yes, there's pain, but there's also new.
And a new 9-year stretch we're in.
A new 9-year stretch.
In numerology. Oh, our new favorite thing today.
It's true. It's true. And then finally is enlightenment. And this word is, again, so many words for it. Enlightened, spiritual, waking up. I don't know what you want to call it. To me, we've always said there's a certain type of person that you see that seems to be living differently than everyone else. They just seem to be on this higher plane. And Spiral Dynamics has the, well, I haven't talked about Spiral Dynamics in a long time, but all of the colors and then the second tier colors are kind of these people who are in this higher plane of existence. Whatever that is, and you can put any word you want on it, it never corresponds, or I should say, there is no correspondence with religious in this word. So sure, people can be religious and also live on a higher plane, but they don't tie into each other at all. They have nothing to do with each other, which I think is one of the dangers of religion. But these people live at this next level, and that is kind of, to me, the final ingredient of the mystics, is that there is this level to get to. And of course, that can be used for in a wrong way, I guess. I mean, there can be like, what was the Shigendo Japanese we learned who would go on these 10-mile hikes for 100 days in a row in the mountains on a mountain hike. And it was the same hike every day and they couldn't eat. And, you know, we know all these things where people beat themselves up literally to reach this enlightened plane. I don't think that's true mysticism. I think the true mystics are that there's this way of living where your eyes are opened, your ears are opened, your tastes are opened, your smell is opened, your feel is opened. Like you live in a space where the moment matters and you're experiencing the moment in all of its fidelity and you're experiencing it at the highest level possible.
It's like Anthony Melo says, you were in prison. And then you weren't.
Yes.
And I think a lot of our life is we build these bars around ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think enlightened is somehow, some way, suddenly you realize you got out of that prison.
Free.
You're free.
Your old favorite word, free.
Freedom.
Which a lot of mystics, won't say which, some of you may know, came to set the captives free.
Mm.
It's just that. Again, is a point of the mystics to set the captives free. And there's
So the blind will see.
Yes. I mean, all of this stuff, it's just this thread. It's everywhere. And you start seeing it. Once you see it, you can't unsee it also. and then it is there and it's beautiful. It's this beautiful way of living that we should be striving for. And it's not a striving for like, oh my God, I don't measure up. It's this striving for like, oh man, when I walk through life that way, I almost cry at the clouds and the sidewalk and the tree that lost its leaves or it's getting its leaves. I mean, it's just, it's this way of life that's how I want to live. And it's not tied to money or success in all of the ways we define it. And those things are defined so often and we become so tied to those and we're chasing those and we're losing this true measure of enlightenment, which is that is the way to live. And you meet those people and I don't care who you are, there's no denying you leave saying, boy, that was a cool experience, or wow, that person seems to be at a different level, or wow, that person is running at a different energy than everyone else and I am drawn to it. There's a calm, powerful beauty to them. And that to me is like, that's lights like us. Like we want to be those people. That's light is often tied to that word too. So if you didn't notice, it's a little acronym, P-H-O-N-E. P, pain is the teacher. H,
oh my God,
holistic.
I had no idea.
O, one. N, new. E, enlightenment, which is phone. I don't know how phone fits, but that's you phone home. Ooh, you phone to the divine. No, I'm not going to say that. Mm-hmm. But phone is how I remember it. And I just think it's good to remind ourselves of what this thread is. And I hope that those five ingredients are going to come into every podcast. And like I said, we're currently in a world where there's a lot of trying to avoid pain. There's a lot of trying to live not holistically. It's very this section of life, this section of life, this section of life. Everything is very polarized and cut off from each other. There's a very not everything is one. It's like there's humanity, there's buildings, there's the forest out there in the national parks. There's everything's cut off. It's not all connected. What I do here doesn't affect them. The pain I cause them doesn't affect me. There's an amazing mystic quote. I don't remember who it is now, but it's something about like, when I kill them, I kill myself. I mean, it's just like war affects us. The war in Ukraine is affecting me right now, not on a metaphor level, but on a metaphysical, like real level. Like we are humanity, we're killing each other. And that idea of this all being one is so removed from where we are as a society now. There's not a degree of new. And I think a lot of ex-religious people are included in this. We're very pessimistic. We're very in despair and anxious. And there's a lot of good reasons. Don't get me wrong. And I'm the worst of them sometimes. But man, we've lost this trust and faith in the power of hope and cycles and our own power of humanity and belief and what we can do together and community and this new thing. And then enlightenment also, I mean, I think we've become consumed and obsessed with becoming more religious or doing our rituals more or just rejecting it all altogether. And we've lost sight of this thing that we should be shooting for, which is enlightenment, not a bank account, not even traveling more, not anything except just becoming this person that appreciates it all a little bit more. So I think in an age where all of these things are all increasing at a tremendous rate, which again, one could argue they always have been, which is why these mystical voices have always been needed so much. But I feel like we're definitely not decreasing. I feel like these voices are more than ever necessary. And so that's what this podcast is hopefully about, is just reminding us of these ingredients and these voices, because God knows I need them on a regular basis. And everywhere I find them, I always leave a little lighter of just even that Rick Rubin this morning. I was like, oh man, that's good. Okay, that's good. So that's a summary of the mystics to me and what we hope to be continuing in this podcast. And I have nothing else to say. Do you, Heidi?
Love it. Beautiful. Right.
Okay. Well, until next time.
Cheers.
If you do sometimes feel a little lonely or maybe a little crazy or just that you're not getting the most out of life, I am a certified coach and I love helping people find their way to better. If you'd like to know more or book a discovery call, check out rsjmiller.com. And if you'd like to know more about the podcast, lightslikeus.com. Until next time, keep shining.